Before we begin this morning, and as you're getting maybe your Bible out and insert, just going to be a little update on my mother-in-law, Joan Hakes. She's still in rehab at Fairport Baptist Home. Doing well and trying to gain a little strength so that we can bring her home. So thank you for praying for her. We appreciate that. Matthew chapter 6 is where I'd like you to go right away with me this morning, and as we continue our series on the Lord's Prayer. 678 is the Pew Bible number if you'd like to access that. Matthew chapter 6. I don't know if you pay attention to the worship music or not. Hopefully some of you do. But on purpose this morning, we talked about holy is the Lord. God is holy. And then we said, you are God. Basically saying he's God and we're not. And then behold our God seated on the throne. And then even the song that we want to teach you, he's the God of forever, not the God of the temporary, the God of just Sunday. He's the God of forever, every day of the week, forever and ever, had no beginning and no end, the Alpha and Omega. And so that's the God that we celebrate this morning, and we're going to focus on that as we continue with the Lord's Prayer. And as you're in Matthew chapter 6, let me just remind you, we started last week with the text with these four words, Our Father in Heaven. I just want to remind you, give you a little recap, that last week we pointed out that the pronoun are refers to followers of Christ, and it reminds us that we are all on this faith journey together, even as we pray. And so it's our Father in Heaven. So we're praying as the body of Christ, as a group of believers. It also reminded us that prayer is about we, not me. It's not just about me praying for my own needs. It's about we, about praying for each other. And I hopefully you're reminded of that. And these four words, our Father in Heaven, also remind us about the relationship of the character of God as we pray. Jesus says right away, I want you to remember that it's our Father. That means we have a personal God. So each and every time that you pray, you're praying to a personal God, not to some guy in the sky. All right, the big guy up there, the man upstairs, that's not who you're praying to. You are praying to a holy, loving Father who has a personal relationship with you and desires to hear your prayers. Not only is he personal, but also our Father in Heaven. God is personal, but he's also powerful. That's good to know. It's not just about who you know, it's about who you know that who you know. And who they know. I mean, it's not just having a personal relationship with God, because some people say, well, I have a personal relationship with Buddha. Good for you. He's not very powerful. You know why? He's dead. And others may claim different things of saying, well, this is what I kind of put my trust in. This is who I kind of have a personal relationship with or connect with. That's fine. But I have a personal and Father connection with the God of the universe. And that's how we start our prayers. So then Jesus moves from relationships to the very first request that he offers up. So it says, Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name. That's the very first request. And I was struggling a lot this week with this, because typically when I pray, I try to start a little bit with kind of saying, Father, and hey, we're tight and everything. But then I go right into my stuff. Or even praying for other people. I go right into my own request list. And I realize that Jesus will get to us, but he starts with a different kind of request at the beginning. Hallowed be your name. Now, some have said that this is a continuation of the first part of the prayer. It's a description of God, but I don't believe so, because it does not say in your Bible, hallowed is your name. It says, hallowed be your name. There's a difference. Jesus is not saying, let's pray that God is holy. He already is holy. What Jesus is praying is we need to pray that God's name is handled properly, that he is perceived as holy. That's what Jesus is asking to take place. And in this particular phrase, hallowed be your name, we have a couple words that are used that we need to really give a full understanding to in order to understand this first request. The key words are hallowed and the word name. Those are really important things. Now, the word hallowed. Just work with me here. How many of you use that in just a normal conversation this week? Hallowed. What is wrong with you? It's in the Bible. It's in the Lord's Prayer. We don't use this word very often. It's basically not part of our modern vocabulary anymore. But this time of year, we kind of use that word a lot. You go in, look at all the Halloween costumes. And all the Halloween candy. Now, some of you, this is like the best time of the year for you. Because you're like, I don't know what happened. I just threw it in my car and I saw it there. Just bags of stuff inviting me to throw it in. And here's why it's a part of the word that Jesus was using. Because the word Halloween describes the event, or is the night before an event that takes place the very next day, November 1st. It's called All Saints Day. And on All Saints Day, some churches celebrate or set apart as holy some of these saints. So Halloween is the evening before the setting apart of these holy saints. So this helps us to understand what the word hallow means. It simply means this: to regard as holy or sacred. So the word Halloween is not saying Halloween itself is sacred or holy, because, wow, we're not going there. But it is saying that Halloween is the night before we're going to celebrate something sacred or holy. It also means that something or someone is to be treated with respect. Set apart as sacred or holy, and someone or something to be treated with respect. It kind of has that ring to it, that you almost want to say it with a different kind of tone in your voice. You know, like, hello. You just kind of, I don't know what it is. It's just one of those words. And that's why it's so hard to put it in your vocabulary, because who are you meeting this week that you're saying, you know what, you're hallowed? First of all, they might smack you because they don't have any idea what you're saying. And they may think you're insulting them, but we don't use it. But there's a really important part of this, that Jesus says, hallowed be your name. Now at this point in the request, we have a meaning issue. We have a clarification issue, and this is what I mean by that. He says, hallowed, let's pray, hallowed be your name. And in my mind, and as I study the Word of God, I'm asking this question: which name of God is he referring to? The listeners, Matthew chapter 6, the people that are listening to him are mainly Jews. So when Jesus says we need to pray, hallowed be your name, and he's referring to God, they have lots of different names that are going through their mind. They have Elohim and Yahweh. Here's some other examples of names that may have come to their mind from the Old Testament. Because remember, Matthew 6, they don't have the New Testament yet, folks. We're on the other end of it. So they're listening, thinking of Old Testament. Maybe he's talking about Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. Or Jehovah Rapha, God heals. Or Jehovah Nisi, God is my banner. Jehovah Im Kadesh, God sanctifies. Or Jehovah Kana, God is jealous. Or Jehovah Shalom, God is peace. Or Jehovah Shama, God is there. Jehovah Rohi, God is my shepherd. Jehovah Emeth, God is truth. Jehovah Metsu Haithai, one of my favorites. God is my high tower. And the list could go on and on, and some of you are looking at me going, you're not helping me. Which one is it? All of them. It's all of them. Hallowed be your name, God. All of it. Let's respect, let's make holy, let's make sacred all of your name. And in our culture, the problem is we want to pick and choose the names of God that we like. God is love. I like that. Let's set that one apart. Let's respect that one. God is righteous. Ooh. God is just. Oh. Even the holiness of God occasionally scares us. So let's get back to the nicer ones. God is peace. Ooh, I can hallow that one. But no, we can't have it that way. Jesus says, hallowed be your name. Here's what he means by the word name. Name speaks to the fullness of all of who God is. I need to be praying and living in my own life a greater appreciation of who God is and setting him apart as being holy. The Old Testament gives examples of this, of how God's name is included, or all of who he is included in his name. I like what Al Mohler writes in his book about the Lord's Prayer. He says that God's name is simply shorthand for God. Here's some verses. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, which name? My name, it's just my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and will hear their land. Just his name. 1 Kings chapter 5, this is Solomon talking about the opportunity to build the temple. He said, I intend therefore to build a temple for the name of the Lord my God. What should we call it? What name of God? We're just going to call it God's name, the temple in God's name. As the Lord has told my father David when he said, your son whom I put on the throne in your place will build the temple for my name. Just the name of God. And then one more from the prophet Isaiah. He is quoting God here. I am the Lord, that is my name. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. Hallowed be the fullness of all you are, God. I should be praying that. Your justice, your mercy, your holiness, your faithfulness, all of these things are sacred and holy and to be respected. But here's another thing that happens with name that Jesus is referring to. Name in the Old Testament for God also speaks to the public reputation of God. So this is important as we move further, because sometimes we hear, hallowed be your name, and like, what am I supposed to do with that? Well, we're going to talk about what we're supposed to do with that. But keep in mind, in the Old Testament, when it said, hallowed be your name, God was concerned about his reputation in the Old Testament, his name. Listen to the prophet Ezekiel. But for this, quoting God again, but for the sake of my name, I did what would keep it from being profaned in the eyes of the nations in whose sight I had brought them out. You'll read other times where God was concerned about the reputation of his name. And folks, let's be honest. If anybody's going to hold God's name into reverence and respect and awe and sacredness, shouldn't it be us? He's not going to get a whole lot of help from other people. He's not going to get a whole lot of help from our culture. I think God's name has taken a hit lately. How about you? I put it to you this way. Why don't you just listen? When bad things happen, God is indicted. When good things happen, God is ignored. When religion is discussed, God is intolerant. And when real life is demanded, God is considered impractical. So simply saying the name of God doesn't always bring like shivers to people, like, ooh. And so we have a task here. And Jesus says, pray, hallowed be your name. Why? Why did Jesus include this in the Lord's Prayer? Well, I know why he didn't do that. He's not telling us we need to pray so that God maintains or increases his holiness. That's not the purpose of our prayer. We don't pray to make God more holy. He has his holiness intact. Here's why we pray this request. We pray this request because Jesus invites us to ask God to visibly demonstrate his glory in this world and to use others to represent his name properly. Jesus invites us to ask God to visibly demonstrate his glory in this world and to use others to represent his name properly. So here's how it starts. Here's how the Lord's Prayer starts. Obviously, it starts with the relationships, but then when we move, the first request that we should be having, in whatever way we word it, it doesn't have to be exactly like the Lord's Prayer, but whatever way we word it, we should start our prayers with, God, may you be honored and glorified and hallowed in this world. May your name be visible and magnified and glorified and powerful in this world. And may I be a person who represents that name well. And by the way, God, I have a few things I also need to pray with you about, which is totally fine. And by the way, I love the fact that Jesus gets to that. But he starts with, God, may you be magnified in this world and in my life? And how in the world can you even approach God that way? Because he's your Father. And he's in heaven. And he's powerful. So I was thinking about, what are some ways that this request can be fulfilled today, 2018? How can we fulfill the request, hallowed be your name? How can we see God's name glorified and magnified through our prayers and in the way that we see things happening in this world? I want to give you some examples of ways that I believe that God's name can be glorified, and you and I have a part in it. That's the awesome thing. You and I have a part in it. Here's the first thing. We can magnify and hallow God's name through the cross. Through the cross. At first hearing of that, you may say, I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. Well, that's why I'm going to explain it to you. But I believe that we can magnify God's name through the cross. When we think about that, hallowed be your name is about God being glorified. You with me? We're praying that God is glorified and honored. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to John 17. It's 753 in your pew Bible. John 17. This is just the one passage I think I'm going to have you turn to today, but it's really important for you to see this, I think, even in your own text. John 17, 753 is the passage in your Bibles, or pew Bibles, if you want to use it. John 17, Jesus is in the upper room. He's literally moments away from being arrested, and then just a short time from going to the cross for us. And this is a conversation he's having with God the Father. Everybody on board with me here? All right? Here's what Jesus says. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So how is the cross an example of God's name being hallowed? It's saying here, Jesus saying, I have come to give my life on the cross, to die for people's sins, and to glorify you, Father, because when people come to faith in you through Jesus Christ, your name is honored and glorified. When lives are changed, somebody is saying, hallowed be your name. So when you and I are praying, hallowed be your name, we should be praying, God, bring people to Jesus Christ as an example of the glory due your name. Think about your own life. I don't know when you came to faith in Jesus Christ. You know that. It may have been when you were younger, as a teenager, as an adult. I remember I was headed on a path of being a really good person, but a person far from God. And if I stayed on that path, I'd be separated from God for the rest of my life. I would not have enjoyed a relationship with him now and in the future. That's where I was headed. And then God entered into my life. And I've told this story before. He entered in my life from some guy from down south coming to Rome, New York, knocking on a door, starting a church from scratch. Couldn't hardly understand what he was saying because he had a little bit of an accent. And he was like, you want to come to church? I'm like, come to church? We don't go to church. And my mom's saying, oh, we'll be there. I'm like, what's wrong with you, Mom? We don't go to church. I said that after he left. And so we went to church. I'm like, this is weird. What's a church? What's a hymn? Is there a her? I had no idea. I went to church as a kid like once a year for vacation Bible school for one reason alone, cookies. It's the only reason why I went. And then I went to this church, and then I heard about the gospel, about Jesus Christ, and I heard about my condition as a sinner, and I came to faith in Jesus Christ. And I want you to know at that moment, God changed me, but also his name was glorified. His name was honored and respected, because at that moment, I said to God, you're God. I'm not. And when you have done that, and when you did that, you are fulfilling that first request. Hallowed be your name. What is the number one way, in my opinion, that God's name is respected? When people bow their knee to Jesus Christ. So can we be praying for that? Absolutely. Hallowed be your name. I put it in your insert. Each one of these little examples I'm giving you, I gave you a prayer example that I would like to pray for myself. Instead of just saying, hallowed be your name, when I'm thinking about the cross, here's the cross prayer that I wrote in your insert. Father, I pray that your name is respected by people coming to faith in Jesus. That's my gospel prayer. That's my kind of my translation or redoing of hallowed be your name. Father, I pray that your name is respected by people coming to Jesus Christ. That's what we can be praying. So, how is that request fulfilled? Through the cross. That's not the only way. That request of Jesus, hallowed be your name, is also fulfilled through the church. Through the church. Who's the church? Anybody who's a believer. Who's the local representation right now in this room? Bible Baptist Church. Well, I don't really represent the church. I'm not a member. Well, if you're a follower of Christ, you represent the body of Christ. And for right now, since you're here, welcome. And so through this, we see that God has chosen, in the New Testament, it's so clear that God has chosen to have Jesus Christ be called the head of the church. And that through the church, we become stewards of God's name. Do you understand that? We are stewards of God's name. When it says, when Jesus prays, God, I pray that your name is respected, I believe he was thinking about the church. The church at large, you know, just the church in the United States, unfortunately doesn't really have the same kind of influence it used to have. Would you agree with me? We just don't have the same kind of influence. And I'm going to say this, and I'm not thinking about any church in particular, but I want you to know there's some really bad examples of God's name out there in churches. Some of you are like, you should just close. Because the way you're representing God and his name is pretty sad. Would you agree with me on that? I'm not thinking about anyone in particular, and I'm hoping it's not ours, but I'm just saying there's some really poor examples of God's name out there. Because he has called us to honor him as a church. So what that means is we should be praying that God's name is respected in our teaching, in our discipleship, in our missions, in our outreach, in our leadership, and everything we do as a church. We should be praying, God, may your name be respected. That's a pretty awesome task. Now, I know you don't I don't think any of you wear name tags or stickers out in public saying what church you go to. I don't think you do. But keep this in mind. When you're out in your workplace world or school or wherever you are, your neighborhood, the grocery store, as a church, we represent God's name. Do I care about the reputation of our church? I absolutely do. That's one of the reasons why Rex and I are delivering some boxes of crayons. Is that okay? Yeah. Now, I guess we could pick it outside the school, all the bad things they're teaching. Let's close all the public schools. Let's do it. Oh, sorry. Sorry. I don't really normally pound the pulpit. That's why the table. Sorry. Okay. We're not going to protest. Are there things in every avenue of our lives that we could say we don't agree with? We would run out of signs. I got some new neighbors on this side that just joined me, joined our neighborhood about 6 months ago, and the guy's so excited about fixing up a man cave because he wants to have me over for an adult beverage. Just going to say that sparkling water, buddy, but hey, we can go for it. I got some partying neighbors on the other side. I could like just plant bushes, hedgerow on both sides. Let's do that. Let's get a big fence. Or I could look for ways to honor God's name representing our church. Right? Here's the church prayer. Father, I pray that our church would be a faithful and biblical representation of your name in our surrounding communities. This is not a pride issue, it's a hallowed issue. When I say this, if you attend this church on a regular basis, I would never want you to be ashamed to tell people where you go to church. I want you to be able to say, I go to Bible Baptist Church of SOTUS. Now you may get, you go to one of those Bible Baptist churches? Yes, I do. But we're a little different. Because when they say it like that, they mean it some other way. But I don't ever want to be embarrassed to tell people where I go to church. Now you say, well, you're the pastor. That'd be really awkward. You know why? Not because of my reputation, not because of your reputation, but hallowed be your name. That God's name be glorified through the cross and through the church. One final example. Since individually we can't be taken off the hook, God wants to see his name set apart and respected through Christians, individual Christians. I'm not sure if Jesus meant it this way, but this is the way that I took it. When we pray, hallowed be your name, God, may your name be set apart and holy and respected. When we pray that, we put ourselves on notice that we should be monitoring how we live. So if you don't want to do that, then don't pray, hallowed be your name, because God has pretty much done with showing up in a whirlwind of fire and those guys. He's pretty much done showing up that way. That was kind of an Old Testament thing. He shows up different ways, but he doesn't typically show up with the whole Shekinah glory thing or the ground opening up and swallowing up people. He doesn't show up that way too much anymore. But you know how he shows up and honors his name and glorifies his name? Through us. So when we pray that, guess who's on notice? We're on notice that I'm a representative. You're a representative of God's name. It's scary, isn't it? When you go to work tomorrow, you don't represent yourself solely. You represent God's name. In school, you represent God's name if you're a follower of Christ. In your neighborhood, in your family settings. Now, I want to give you a couple examples of how we should be kind of looking at this individually and honoring God's name as Christians. First of all, through our language. Our language. Now, I want to give you a negative and a positive, and I'm not going to be saying any bad words, so don't worry, okay? I'm just going to give you some examples. Let me give you some, let me share a verse with you first. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, part of the Ten Commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Is that pretty clear? Any fuzziness about that? Now, I know that's like, oh, that's Old Testament. Exodus is like a million years ago. Not really, but it's a long time ago. But it's interesting how Jesus restates respecting God's name in the New Testament. When that happens, that means we need to pay attention. Because some people are like, well, doesn't the Old Testament say you can't wear polyester? Well, something like that. But guess what it doesn't say in the New Testament? Don't wear polyester. I just say don't wear it because it may give you a rash. That's all I'm saying. Or, you know what I'm saying? So when something is repeated in the New Testament, that means it's on board. It's on the table. So do not misuse the name of the Lord God. So our language as followers of Christ, I'm not talking about profanity as you may think of it. I'm talking about respecting God's name. If taking God's name in vain is part of your accidental vocabulary, you need to get a money jar. And get someone in your life who doesn't use God's name in vain and have them start charging you. And if you're able to go on vacation, you have a problem. Right? Now, I know some of you, your biggest hang-up is listening to other people say it, the people you work with. But the Bible says something about don't cast pearls before swine, meaning don't expect people far from God to act like they know God. Don't be so worried about their language as opposed to your language when it comes to God's name. So we need to respect that. You with me? And I'm much more uncomfortable with hearing Christians take God's name in vain than I am non-Christians. So we should be example that. Let me give you a positive example. Psalm 136 in verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. How do we use our language to positively exalt the set apart and holy name of God? Well, we give thanks to God. When you were singing earlier, and most of you were, guess what you were doing? You were setting apart God's name. Hallowed be your name. You were respecting God's name enough to say, you are God. You were respecting God's name to sing, behold our God. So when you worship, you're saying, wow, his name deserves my respect. That's another reason why some of you should open your mouth during worship, even if you're just lip syncing. Because you know what you're doing in worship? You're hallowing his name through your language. Also, praise. If you have opportunities where God blesses you, give a testimony. Give praise to somebody, just an individual person, a coworker. If God does something in your life, give him praise. That's hallowing his name. And gratitude. Gratitude is such a way to respect and hold as sacred God's name. You say, how is that connected? Well, it is connected because we want to keep God's name holy, yes? Reverenced. I believe one of the greatest ways that we disregard and disrespect God's name is when we complain all the time. He's not doing his job. I don't have enough. I want more. I got some more aches and pains. How come my car broke down? And we whine and complain to our coworkers and our friends. And that disrespects the name of God. So when we have opportunity, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Holy is his name. So not only should we kind of fulfill this request individually through our language, but also our lives. Also our lives as we finish up here. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. The context of that is that there were some Christians going back and forth on what you should eat, what should you drink, what holidays should you celebrate. And Paul's like, hold up, before we get too far into this, can we just say this? Whatever you do, whatever holiday you're celebrating, whatever you're doing, do it all for God's glory, not for your own. And when we do that, when we live our lives for God's glory, guess what happens? We are showing him respect. Because think about this. Think about that coworker, that fellow student that you have at school, or someone that you know in the neighborhood, or a family member who doesn't know God, and they're watching you. Don't think they're not watching you. They're watching you, correct? They're watching you. And when we live our lives in such a way that please God, it shows them that we have respect for God's name. When we go off on the deep end and do things that we shouldn't be doing, it's a disrespect to God's name. That's why I take my leadership responsibility pretty seriously, and it scares me at times beyond what you would understand to be a pastor. Because if I go down, it's going to go public pretty quickly. And I may be very concerned about what you think, but ultimately I'm most concerned about the name of God. And individually, you have that same responsibility to live your lives pleasing to God. So how do you show God's name be glorified and honored in your lives? You show it at Wegmans, at Patton's, at Tops, at the hairdresser, at the barbershop, on the soccer field, in the classroom, in your house, in your marriage. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I think there's far too many Christians who give glory and honor to God's name at church and other church functions, but if you were in their home, you'd be like, whoa. Now, I'm not saying we're ever going to be perfect, but we need to honor God's name. Yes? Here's the Christian prayer as it relates to hallowed be your name. Father, this is a great prayer to pray. Short, but it's challenging. Father, I pray that my words and my actions show respect for your name. I'm not responsible for how Pam respects God's name or how you respect God's name. I need to be praying, Father, I pray that my words and my actions show respect for your name. When does that start, folks? Right at the end of the service when you start talking to people. And as you go. Jesus says, hallowed be your name. One final thought I want you to write down about this part of the Lord's Prayer. Our request should start God-centered. Jesus starts with the foundation of relationships, and then he goes to the first request, and he starts with the request being God-centered. Al Mohler says this, Jesus' first request is not that his personal needs be met, but that God's glory and holiness be known and loved as it deserves. So that should be our prayer as well. Very much God-centered. Why don't you stand with me? I'm going to close in a short revised Lord's Prayer, at least the beginning here, as we continue on our series. And listen, I know this was a lot today, but I've been encouraged and challenged in my own life. I want to see God's name glorified through people coming to Christ. I got a lot of family members who need Christ, and if God brings them to himself, his name is going to be glorified. I want our church to bring glory and honor to God's name, and us as individuals to show respect for his name. So let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may your name be known, respected, and honored as it's deserved. Through the cross, through our church, and through our lives. Amen. You are dismissed.